just wanna feel anything, anything with you, with you. I just wanna feel anything, anything with you, with you.
Welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast with your host, Matthew M.
Hello, and welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast, where we are clean and serene with the filthy mind in between. I am your host, Matthew M., and I am an addict in recovery. Welcome to episode 5, everybody. Very grateful that everybody is here hanging out with us. Congratulations to the podcast, because we officially cracked 100 downloads. So shout out to everybody out there who's been helping grow this podcast from the bottom. I can't quote Drake and say we started from the bottom. Now we're here, like we up at the top. But hey, we started from the bottom and now we're here. We broke 100. So shout out to everybody. Much love. Really appreciate all of the support. Truly, I could not do it without you guys. So thank you so much for that. Shout out to everybody who's right now on YouTube.com watching the live stream. For those who don't know, we broadcast live on YouTube every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Arizona time. Remember, daylight saving time just happened, so adjust accordingly. And then, of course, we upload each episode for download wherever you consume your podcast the following day. So if you are listening on a podcast service right now and you want to check us out on YouTube, come on through. All of the links to the YouTube channel and all of the other channels for social media are listed on the website at www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. If you are on YouTube right now, if you wouldn't mind, please clicking the subscribe button, maybe throw a comment, maybe throw a thumbs up. Helps us get in YouTube's algorithm. I don't understand all that, but hey, it helps us grow. I'm really trying to get to 100 subscribers on YouTube. Once we get that, we get a custom URL. So it no longer will say youtube.com/bunch of random digits. It will now say youtube.com/cleanandfilthypodcast. So it's really good for our branding, really helps get our entire, you know, platform out there. So if you are on YouTube right now, please go ahead and click that subscribe button. And if you're on YouTube right now, please also, if you wouldn't mind, go to wherever you check out your podcast and just throw us a like and a download. Really helps us grow, really helps us build. And that's truly how we're going to be able to get out and help more people, is just by building this platform. So thank you, everybody who's here or who's listening. I want to just express my gratitude to everybody, because like I said, I couldn't do it without y'all. Before we go any further, got to give a huge thank you to our episode sponsors. Again, we have Etc. by Emily. If you are needing any kind of event staffing, or if you're looking for a job, check out her information listed in the description below. And also Metaphysical Minds, a new crystal and spiritual item company that just recently launched. So if you're looking for crystals or sage or other stuff like that, definitely head down into the description and check them out. Also, have to give a huge thank you to our theme music allowers, if you will, and that is the song Anything by Valentino Khan and Alice in Wonderland. Shout out to Mad Decent Records for giving us the permission to use that as our theme song here. Every time I hear that, I just get happy. Like, honestly, I just get happy. So I really appreciate that to you know, Mad Decent Records and Alice in Wonderland and Valentino Khan, even though they probably don't even know that their record label is letting me use it. But hey, I'm not mad at it regardless. Also have to give a huge shout out to our VIP supporters. These are people who are helping this podcast grow by making donations on Patreon. They are Char, Clint, and Alex. And if you're interested in becoming a VIP supporter, head to the website. And in the top right corner where all the other social media links are, you can click on the Patreon link. And for everybody who makes a donation, you get one of these awesome Clean and Filthy Podcast stickers sent to you. So we really appreciate the support. As I said last week, the support helped us get this new microphone. Eventually, we'll be having a new microphone arm since it's on back order. Apparently, because of the quarantine pandemic, everybody's, you know, streaming or podcasting or, you know, doing school from home and want to have a nice setup. So sadly, they're on back order right now, but we will have that soon. So again, thank you, everybody. Really, 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 you know, couldn't do it without you guys' support. So thank you so much for that. As you guys can tell, again, I'm sorry to anybody whose OCD is acting up right now because I'm not center. Well, that's right. The ankle is still not doing the best. I will say the baseball went away from the side of my ankle and kind of moved to the rest of the foot. And then after the last 4 days of chasing around a very energetic, almost three-year-old, the baseball is it's kind of sort of back. Maybe not a baseball, but maybe like a racquetball. And my foot is officially all of the colors of the spectrum, like Roy G. Biv. Shout out to the Clips for that line. But I guess it's healing, so hooray for that. But I hope everybody had a really great, blessed week. Hope everybody is just starting off their week wonderfully. I personally have had a great week. I got this fire triple extra shirt. Shout out to C4L Designs. This is my nickname. I'm known in the fellowship as Matthew Triple Extra. That's why I got the triple extra bracelet and the shirt. If you want to check one of these shirts out, you can head over to C4L Designs and pick one up. Support their company, a recovery-based clothing company, and also support the podcast kind of by proxy. Also, you know, got my hair cleaned up, feeling good. Got to give a shout out to Casey over at Sport Clips. I made an agreement with her that if I gave her a shout out on air, she'd check out the podcast. And hey, we're doing what we got to do to get those views, baby. Doing what we got to do. So yeah, if you want to get all edged up, looking all, yep, check that out. So anyway, we got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about step five. We're going to be going over my favorite moment of the week. Going to be answering more questions. And of course, got those clean time shout outs. Before we get into all that, got to go ahead and give the disclaimer of, you know, what we do every week. What we are, what we are not. So again, my name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery. This podcast is a recovery-based podcast, but we are not a 12-step meeting. This does not replace talking to your sponsor. This does not replace going to a meeting. This is not affiliated with any one type of fellowship. To stay in line with the traditions, I will not be mentioning what my fellowship of choice is. I will not be mentioning what my home group is. I will not be mentioning any kind of endorsement or advertisement for a treatment center or for a specific meeting. That's not what we're here to do. If you have questions on those type of things, please hit me up privately. Again, you can email me at matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com, or you can contact me on any of the social media platforms that are all listed on the website, and I'll be more than happy to get you whatever information I possibly can. But this podcast is not for that. This podcast is to help raise awareness about recovery, to help, you know, show what we as recovering addicts do on a daily basis to work through life and problems and life on life's terms. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to be a beacon of hope for love and excitement and happiness and fun. But I'm not going to be, you know, detailing any one specific thing. You know, there are a lot of options. For me, 12-step recovery worked. And for me, a specific fellowship worked. But that doesn't mean that you know, it's going to work for everybody. And that doesn't mean that something else wouldn't work for somebody. So this is just here to try and give information. And, you know, like I said, we are not an endorsement of anything. I'm not speaking as an authority from any type of fellowship perspective. I am simply sharing my experience, strength, and hope with, you know, a moderate amount of my opinion, depending on the day, about what has worked for me. So just keep that in mind. Just want to make sure everybody knows, you know, what we are and what we are not. You know, hopefully this helps anybody who might be struggling with addiction, confused about recovery. You know, maybe you have a family member, you know, whatever it is. At the end of the day, this whole podcast is to try and get the message of recovery out to as many people as possible. Because at the end of the day, every single person in this world has been affected by addiction in some way, shape, or form. Even if you don't realize it, honestly, that's just where we are in the world. So that's what we are. That's what we are not. Just want to make sure we get that out of there before we get into our first segment. So you know what time it is. Let's head to the lab.
Let's head to the lab for some R&D. Recovery and development.
That's right. We are in the lab for some R&D, recovery and development. This is the part of the segment where we go ahead and discuss a different step, tradition, concept, principle, or something from the literature that, you know, specifically how we work through it, how it ties into recovery. Again, this has impact even if you're not an addict in recovery, even if you've never personally experienced addiction. This gives us the opportunity to kind of show how we work through steps and traditions and concepts and principles and really try to, you know, employ them into our lives. Because as I've said many times, you know, I came to recovery to stop using drugs, but I stay in recovery to become a better person. And that's what the segment is all about. So even if you're not, you know, an addict in recovery, that's okay. There might be something in here that really can help. So, you know, this is what this whole segment is for. So we are on episode 5 and we are talking about step 5. So again, you know, we went over step 4 last week. Step 5, it's very difficult to discuss step 4 without discussing step 5 and, with, you know, step 5 without discussing step 4. Kind of like when you get to steps 8 and 9 and 6 and 7. They really tie into each other, you know, a lot. So there's going to be some pieces from last week, but this is going to kind of build on that. So if you have not listened to last week's episode of the Clean and Filthy podcast, we ask that you please do that. Get them downloads up. That would be on episode 4. Shameless plug there, but I'm doing what I can to get them views up.
That part.
So, step 5 says, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So, as I said before, you know, step 5 is not simply reading of step 4. It's just not. That's not what we do. We go ahead, there's a lot more to it. That is definitely a part of it, you know, but it is a lot more to it. The actual basis of step 5 is the admission piece. It's making a true admission. Because we can just read something, and even if we just read something, that doesn't mean we're actually admitting to it. That doesn't mean we're actually putting it into our lives. So that's where the admission part is so very important. So before we even get started in it, we really got to look at the spiritual principles that are so heavy within this step. First, we have to have courage. We have to. We have to have courage that we built in the fourth step of writing everything down. We really have to have that. We have to have trust. You know, like we talked about last week, we have to have that trust in a sponsor, in our higher power, in the program, in the fellowship, to really be able to fully work through the fourth step and now the fifth step. And we also have to have some self-honesty. You know, there are a lot of times that we might want to overinflate something or minimize something. And if we aren't being honest with ourselves, you know, we're living in dishonesty, and that's not a place I like living personally. We'll get to that when we get to the sixth step of how it feels icky. And then of course there's commitment, because there's no point in doing a fourth step if you ain't going to do the fifth step. Simple as that. There's just not. It's such a profound thing that you've done, or that, you know, that we do in the fourth step, and to not then immediately work a fifth step can have detrimental consequences. You know, there's that element of not wanting to procrastinate, because so often it's kind of like when you go from the first step to the second step, and you get done working the first step, and you make this admission, and then you feel that emptiness inside, and you need to fill it with something. It's kind of almost the same in reverse when it comes to working a fourth step, because you work this fourth step, and you feel all these feelings and these emotions and these like type of feelings. But with that, if we don't work that fifth step and get that true relief from processing through all of it, it can have horribly detrimental consequences. So we're going to go through each element of it. So it says, you know, we admitted to God. That's our first part. Now, again, if you have a problem with the word God, I get it. I did too. Still do on some days. Depending on, I just might wake up in a mood and I'm like, nope, ain't saying that. Ain't saying the G word. No capital H's on him. You know, and I don't know why. That's just how my addict brain is. I really don't know what the reasoning is that occurs. But for some reason, it occurs. So if you have a problem with God, change those letters, good orderly direction, group of drug addicts, whatever. Whatever you got to put in there, just replace the word God with higher power if you need to. That's totally fine. Because at the end of the day, as we've discussed in episodes 2 and 3 of the Clean and Filthy podcast regarding a higher power and higher power's will, it doesn't matter what your higher power is as long as it works for you. And if you haven't listened to episodes 2 and 3, please head on over and check them out wherever you consume your podcasts. Again, shameless plug. So first off, when we're making this admission to our higher power, we really need to affirm our connection with that higher power. And some people will say, okay, well, why am I admitting this to my higher power? If I believe there's a higher power, the higher power already knows all of the things that I'm, you know, that are on my 4-step. You know, what does it matter to really admit that? But the point that we admit, that we make that admission to our higher power, is because we're able to then invite its strength into the rest of the process. That's why it says first to our higher power, you know, then, you know, the subsequent another human being, ourselves, whatever. But that higher power piece of it is so important to get that strength to be able to walk through that fear, to make that commitment to finish this process, to finish this whole step, you know, 4 into 5. Because if we are if we're sitting in fear, if we're not having faith in our higher power and relying on that strength that comes from it, then we might never proceed. And the beautiful thing is that the fellowship at the end of the day is a spiritual program where the spiritual meets everyday life. And by asking for our higher power strength while working the 5th step, it helps us find a way to add that into our everyday life. So that's why, you know, a lot of people say, well, what does it matter? Why do I need to admit this? My higher power already knows. You know, if you believe in a specific type of God who is all seeing and all knowing, then it's like, God already knows this. Why do I need to admit it again? But our admission is our way of really pulling in that strength that our higher power is able to give us. So that's the first part. Next part is admitting to ourselves. Now, this is where we really get into that self-honesty type piece, because addicts inherently are not the most honest individuals, especially with ourselves. The amount of manipulation, deception, justification, rationalization, just flat out dishonesty that we, you know, participate in, especially with ourselves. So much of it stemming from denial. This is an opportunity for us to truly admit to ourselves. And, you know, this is a very personal thing, because again, this is also kind of like the first step. You know, we need to admit it for ourselves, just like in the first step. You know, nobody can tell us we're an addict. We have to make that admission for ourselves. Even if the whole world is telling us that, if we still deny it and don't make that admission, you know, we can't truly work a first step. And that's kind of the same thing with the 5th step. Because even if everybody in this world has been telling us all of the bad things that have been on our 4th step, to actually personally make that admission is so necessary. It's so necessary to the whole peeling back the onion, to getting to the core of it. Because if we don't, and we're just going off of what other people say, we aren't really believing it. It doesn't really compute in our brains. And if we can't really make that admission, if it's not computing in our brains, then we aren't feeling it. And if we're not feeling it, then we're not going to change. We're not going to grow through it. So it's so important that we make this admission to ourselves. So then that leads to the willingness of being able to choose another way. When we write everything down and we see our patterns and we look at the things that have occurred in our lives and our part in it, as we talked about last week, that responsibility piece, finding the part that we have in there, that allows us to choose another way than we've done in the past. That allows us to have the willingness to grow in a different direction than we have in the past. And this also allows us to see our motives behind our actions in these patterns. We're able to do a deep dive, not just a, oh, okay, well, yeah, this is what I was feeling or thinking. No, we get a deep dive into the core elements that all play into this. And that's why that admission to ourselves is so huge. Because if we aren't really admitting it, if we can't internalize what we're seeing, we might be able to look at the patterns. We might be able to see the patterns. We might be able to see our part. But to really internalize it and want to do something different about it requires us to have that admission within ourselves. That's literally how it is. Because if we're just glossing over something, that's why, again, we don't just read the step. We admit the exact nature of our wrongs. Within that admission, we're able to grow. We're able to get freedom. We're able to find those new ways and no longer have to live how we were. That's where the admission to ourselves comes in. And then we get the element of to another human being. Now, this is often the scary part. Honestly, for some people, this is the super terrifying part. Thankfully, you know, as I said last week, I had a very good relationship with the person who heard my fifth step, you know, my fourth step and my fifth step. And I was able to just believe, have a sense of faith and a sense of trust that this person isn't going to judge me. Whatever happens here happens. Let's go. Like I said, I just told my sponsor to strap in and let's go. But I know for a lot of people, there's a fear around that. There's such a fear around that. If this person's going to judge me, this person's going to look at me like, oh my God, you are the worst human being ever. You know, that's such a common fear, especially because for so many of us, we felt so not a part of for so long prior to coming into recovery. And now finally, we're starting to feel a part of, we're starting to feel like members of this group. And there's that worry that what if this information comes out and I'm not going to be part of the group anymore? What if, you know, I'm not going to be feeling a part of anymore? So I get that. I get that fear, but that's where we have to turn it into faith. We have to turn it into belief. We have to turn it into to trust in our higher power, in our sponsor or whoever hears this, in the fellowship in general. And I will say, you know, most people who take their fifth step do it with a sponsor. That doesn't mean you have to. You could technically tell whoever. That it doesn't say anywhere in any literature that you have to do your fifth step with a sponsor. But there are certain elements that really need to be part. You need to have trust. You really need that person to have compassion, integrity, and insight. And the insight piece is very important because so often when we go through our fourth and into our fifth step, you know, we might find certain elements of it that we aren't taking responsibility for, or we might take other elements of it that we're taking too much responsibility for, that we don't even hold any responsibility in. And a sponsor or whoever you choose, if they have enough insight, will be able to point those things out. They'll be able to sit there and help work through this massive information feeling dump in a way and help figure out the things that we need to hold on to, the things that we put too much, you know, stock into, the things that don't serve us. You know, so that's why technically, like, I've personally listened, I've heard somebody's fourth and fifth step who wasn't my sponsee. Kind of randomly, he then a year or so later became my sponsee for a little while. But you know, that was something that was cool. And it was such an exciting experience because it's a very intimate process. you know, being able to connect with another human being on that level is a very intimate process. And that's an interesting thing for me because, you know, before I came to, you know, into recovery, my concept of intimacy was nothing but sexual. The only way, you know, that was the only concept I had of intimacy. But the true, honest definition, at least for me within intimacy, is being able to have a deep connection with another human being. I can truly say now, like, that I have had so many more intimate moments with people that had nothing to do with sexuality than I have with people sexually. Probably speaks to my issues surrounding sex, which we'll get into at another point. But so much of my past in sexuality had almost no intimacy to it. Almost none. But in my mind, that was intimacy. You know, the only type of intimacy is that's fucking. That's it. But that's not the case. Intimacy is sitting down with another human being, trusting in them, loving them in a not sexual way, believing in them, and sharing things about who we are, who I am, sitting there and sharing things that I've never shared to another man in this world is such an intimate moment, is such a freeing moment. And it's something that until you've experienced it, I don't think it's really possible to verbalize what it really does. You know, what it the amount of freedom that really comes out within it. Being able to look at something that maybe you didn't feel you had any part in it, and maybe you didn't feel you had any responsibility in, but having that other person being able to say, "Hey, look at this. Hey." And then, you know, not immediately saying, "Yeah, fuck you, I'm out." Being able to actually take that suggestion, take that insight and apply it. And that's such a truly amazing feeling. It really is. You know, it's something that until you've experienced it, really, I can't put into words. So if you're sitting out there sitting on some step work and you don't feel like putting in the work on it, I'm gonna try to entice you a little bit to do it, to feel that feeling. There you go. That's my enticement for step work this week. But the biggest thing, you know, within that intimate relationship is that level of being genuine. Because if we're not being honest and we're not being genuine, there's really, we're just hurting ourselves. I mean, yes, we're hurting our relationship with our sponsor or whoever that person is, but we're hurting ourselves. Because I had this occur with the sponsee that I'd worked a four-step with. And then he went back out and he's, you know, he came back and we started working steps again from the beginning. And he flat out said, he's like, "Yeah, on my four-step, you know, I lied about a bunch of stuff, you know, I just," and I'm like, "But why do you feel that was?" Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me. You know, like, I don't care if you were the worst or the best, or if you did this or that, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me now is what you're doing about it, how you're growing from it. And that's where that honesty and that self-honesty and being genuine is so very important, because the level of intimacy that's required requires honesty. Requires honesty. It requires that true, "Here are all my cards on the table. I'm laying it out all out there for you to see. Not for the world to see, but for this other person in this intimate relationship to see." I don't believe that to work a true, honest fourth and fifth step, I don't believe it's possible to do that without intimacy. Because if you're being honest and you're being genuine, that intimacy is going to come. That's just how it's set up. That's how the questions are set up. It's going to force that intimacy. So you know, that I really hope that, you know, people can see that there's this element of honesty that is so, so important, because the only person that you're hurting, the only person I'm hurting, if I'm not being honest, is myself. My sponsor isn't going to know one way or the other, but that's the only person that I'm truly hurting. And there's no need for that. I don't need to try to be something that I'm not. And then we get into the element of, you know, sharing the exact nature of our wrongs. Because sharing the exact nature of our wrongs sets us free to live. It says that in the literature. The exact nature speaks to taking responsibility for our part and admitting it to ourselves. Again, this is where it's so important to have somebody that can give insight. So we aren't taking responsibility for things that we shouldn't and not taking responsibility for things that we should. You know, that is so important within that, because I don't need to take on anything else than, you know, than I already do. What's the point of that? That's just going to cause, you know, more stress, more issues, more icky feelings. I don't need to do that. And within that exact nature being admitted, we're able to see, as I said, those patterns of thought and those patterns of action. And those come so importantly. Wow.
Phrasing.
Wow, comes so importantly. Okay, those are massively important within the sixth and seventh step, because those patterns always speak to some level of character defect, which we will get into next week. Woo! The sixth step. I love the sixth step. Hated it, but I loved it. We'll get into that. And as I said, you know, if we're not honest in our fifth step, we will live with the negativity that dishonesty brought us in the past. That's not my quote, came right out of literature. And that's so true. We will continue living in this lie. You know, one piece of dishonesty grows and breeds until we are living in an element of dishonesty that is not necessary for us. It's just not. I mean, that's not what we have to do. We can live an honest program. We can be honest, open-minded, and willing. That is the core of recovery. Those are the three principles that are the core of recovery. So then once you've been able to work through all this, we're able to let the shameful part of our lives go. Because right now it's kind of trapped. It's kind of trapped in that four step. You know, we got all of it written down. But once we've worked through that fifth step, we're able to let it go. Take what works and let the rest go. You know, because we're addicts. We tend to live secret lives. We're good at that. But once you let it out, you know, it says that the secrets keep us sick. Defects grow in the dark and die in the light of exposure. And the exposure doesn't mean saying it. Because again, you could just put the words to it, but truly admitting it to yourself, to your higher power, to another human being, that's where you get that freedom. That's where we can, you know, that's the light of exposure that we're talking about. Because again, we are not our actions, especially in active addiction. We are not just our actions. We are human beings who make mistakes. I'm not the best. I'm not the worst. Guess what? I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. But if we grow from them, then we're able to take that negative into a positive. So that is the element that we'll get into a lot more with the next couple steps as well. But, you know, that's the basis of it there. The last couple thing I really want to put in here is do not procrastinate. It says in the literature, be exact, tell the simple truth, cut and dried as quickly as possible. Again, I told my sponsor, I'm like, yo, strap in, bro. Let's go. And we went. And that element within it, oh my God, it just that honest admission, that whole, you know, it says masks gotta go, except currently in, you know, COVID, please keep your mask on. Don't pull a future. Mask off. Please don't do that right now. Please just don't. Keep your mask on. But within our step work, the masks have to go. We need to have that self-honesty. Because within that, when we're sharing it freely with our sponsor, inevitably your sponsor is going to say, yeah, me too. Or that person, possibly, I don't know. I think you have better luck when it comes to sharing with the sponsor, because inherently addicts have gone through very similar experiences, and that ability to say, oh yeah, me too, is such a feeling of acceptance from another human being. And that acceptance from another human being allows us to feel more accepting of who we are. I'm not this horrible person. I'm not a culmination of my actions. That doesn't make me a bad person, an evil person. It makes me a human being. And guess what? This person just said me too. They did the same thing. And they seem pretty happy with themselves and who they are as a person and what they've done in life. Because our actions don't define us as human beings. They just don't. And finally, once we get that level of self-acceptance, then we get to look at our character defects. Woo! All right, that's what we're going into next week, y'all. Step 6 will be next week, all about character defects, all about taking everything that we've been building on through these first 5 steps and putting them all together to really take a look internally. Yeah, it was a little painful. I ain't even gonna front. That was definitely a step 6 was a lot. So we will get back to that next week. So that's what we got for this week of R&D. All right, next segment on the show, it's called My Favorite Moment of the Week. Now, this is a moment, this is the part of the show where we discuss something that's happened over the last week. And, you know, what was my favorite moment? It might be something from sports, music, news, pop culture, my favorite meme off of Instagram, whatever it is. This is definitely the opinion part of the show. This is just what I, you know, personally had the biggest connection with over the last week or vibed out with the most. Again, this is not a speaking from any perspective of a specific fellowship or whatever. This is just this addict in recovery's favorite moment of the week. So there were some things I will say. First off, hey, stimulus money got approved. So shout out to the Stimmies. We're going to be using some of that to stimulate the podcast and probably add some better lighting, since I currently look like a ghost. There was an issue with my camera. It decided to die, so we are on my backup camera, which is absolute
garbage. Absolute trash.
Yeah, that part. So I apologize to anybody who's watching live. If you had a momentary like, oh, camera went bye-byes. Oh, new camera came back. Oh, he looks like a ghost. Much apologies. You know, we're learning and we're working on the fly here, and well, you live and you learn, I guess. So got to figure out what happened with that. So some things, like I said, shout out to Stimmy. We're going to be getting some other things to stimulate the podcast. Another thing I absolutely loved was being able to actually fill out my bracket for March Madness this year. Still don't necessarily think that they should be having it. I still think it's pretty stupid. Just to have that many people intermixing, I really could see a COVID bomb just taking out half of you know, a bracket. I hope it doesn't happen. I pray it doesn't happen just for the sake of those kids, you know, that are there competing. I really hope that they're able to compete and everybody's healthy and nobody gets sick, nobody gets it transmitted, nobody dies. I really hope that. But it felt really good, you know, fill out a bracket. Shout out, I got U of M winning the whole thing. My mom went to U of M, so I'm a big U of M fan. Juwan Howard, that's my dude. Absolutely loved the Fab Five back in the day. So that's who I got. Let me know in the comments who y'all got winning the championship or who your final four are. Don't at me for having a little bit of a homer pick there. Whatever. Gonzaga ain't going to win it. I'm telling you that right now. You give me Gonzaga or the field, I'm taking the field, putting it out there. So when it came to what I had planned for this segment, I had a whole thing in my mind of what we were going to do for my favorite moment of the week. But the Grammys decided to have other plans and decided that that wasn't going to occur. Before we get into why the Grammys are trash, shout out to Beyonce for being Beyonce and Beyonce-ing the world and Beyonce-ing the Grammys. And I mean, she's going to have to buy another house just for all of her Grammys. Honestly, it's incredible. Also, shout out to an absolute trash song, but I absolutely love it. Roses by St. John won for remix of the year, the Abonic remix. I guess TikTok, y'all made it. So I can't say shout out to TikTok because I despise TikTok, but I guess y'all did it. Good job. But that song is fire, even though it's trash, but it's still fire. It's trashy fire. Fiery trash. I don't know. It's fire. So I wanted to do this segment talking about Royce da 5'9" winning for best rap album. But that didn't happen because Grammys are trash. And I'll get into why they're trash in a second. But the reason why I wanted to discuss Royce da 5'9", for people who don't know who Royce da 5'9" is, he is one of the best lyricists, one of the best rappers of my generation. He's been consistently putting out fire music for 20 years. He's half of Bad Meets Evil, which is the group with Eminem. He is a quarter of Slaughterhouse, which is the best lyrical rap group since Wu-Tang Clan, period.
That part.
Nah.
That part.
I will say Black Hippie is also fire as well, but they aren't really an official group, so whatever. We'll talk about that later. But the most important thing about him is he is a brother in recovery. He is a brother in recovery whose life was crippled by using, who went to prison for using, who couldn't stop using. But thankfully, his label owner is Eminem, who recently just got, I believe it was 11 years in recovery. Royce, I think he's got either 5 or 6 years in recovery. And that is beautiful to me. That's beautiful because, you know, as we've talked about before, so much of hip hop is all about drug use. It's all about promoting this drug using lifestyle. And he was able to show a little bit about that. And he shares about his recovery. So I'm not violating traditions or anything like that because he shares about his recovery. He talks about it. He posts about it. He talks about, you know, what addiction did to his life. And so I really was hoping we could discuss that because the Allegory was a fire album. But instead, the Grammys, being the Grammys, decided to go a different route. Now, again, reasons why, and this sucks because I want to love the Grammys so much because, like, the Grammys are that you know, universally accepted barometer for what's good, right? It's the Academy Awards, but for music. And say what you will about the Academy Awards, but that is used as a standard. When something is even up for contention for movie of the year, that's a big deal. And the vast majority of the time, it's going to be a really good movie, with the exception of, for whatever reason, the Academy loves musicals, and I just don't vibe with them. So my personal opinion on that is sometimes they get it wrong when it comes to musicals. But for the most part, great direction is applauded with a Best Director nomination. You know, great set design, great movies are you know, put into that category for that reason. And that's what the Grammys should be. They are the same caliber. But the Grammys stay losing, man. They stay taking L's. And I don't know how to fix it. You know, we've discussed it before. The fact that The Weeknd had a song in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 for an entire year and did not receive a single Grammy nomination. How? Like, how does that work? How can you, like, even if you're saying, oh, okay, well, it wasn't that great, it was just popular. Well, that is completely negated by the amount of Megan Thee Stallion and even Roses that you have on the you know, winning Grammys. So that doesn't work. The fact that Run the Jewels still have not had a Grammy nomination, let alone a win when they should, shout out Run the Jewels. That right there speaks to the Grammys being trash. Okay. Also, the fact that On My Mind by Diplo and Side Piece didn't win for best electronic song or best dance song or whatever the category was. I'm salty about that. That song was fire. You stay on my mind. All right, I don't want to say any more than that. I don't want to get a copyright strike for this episode. But the fact that they decided to give the Grammy to Nas for a good album speaks to the thing that's going on within the Grammys, which is always that they're late. They're always late. So it's like Nas has never won a Grammy for Best Rap Album. So even though his album wasn't the best this year, we got to give it to him. Instead of a better album, like Royce da 5'9's Allegory. That was all just a lead up of what I wanted to talk about today. So sorry, I'm long winded. If you haven't listened to Allegory by Royce da 5'9, check it out. It's amazing. Great album. But what I want to talk about, my favorite moment of the week, was the vaccine special for South Park. This episode with a Q in it. South Park. Because there were so many things within it that were so cutting and so, you know, South Park in its essence. And I've always loved South Park. I've always loved, even on things that I didn't agree with, because there are a lot of episodes that they've put out that I did not agree with what they were saying or their point of it, but I still love the show. I love the show and I respect the show, even if I don't really like certain elements of what it said. But this is what I've always loved, is the fact that they are able to attack issues immediately after they happen. You know, there's a great documentary called 6 Days to Air, 6 Days to whatever. It's 6 Days to Air is, I think, what it is. And it talks about the process of how South Park makes its episodes, where at that point they were making an episode in 6 days. So something happens in the news, 6 days later, you're seeing it on TV, which has never been able to be done in television. You know, everything that occurs has to be produced, has to be edited, has to be filmed, whatever. So that's one thing I've always loved. And I've always loved the fact that at the end of the day, like, they like do not give a fuck. Like, they are going to say what they want to say. And for the last 20 plus years, they've done that very successfully. So shout out to them. So there were so many things within this that I thought were so well done. You know, I just starting it off with the fact of using a different opening screen than they ever have in the past was kind of speaking to this kind of unknown of where's the show going in some ways. But then it went into things about, you know, showing the strain on friendships because of the pandemic. You know, the element of people having differing views on the pandemic or on the world in general and what that's having to do within, you know, your group, your fan group. You know, we have one element of it, and spoiler warning, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give so much away, but I'm going to give some away. But you have this element of Cartman trying to profit off of the pandemic, which brings up that interesting point, because when you look at the richest people in the world, they've been profiting off of the pandemic. You know, Bezos has gone up by multiple billies. And that's, you know, people profiting off it. So it was interesting to bring that in, and they didn't like harp on it, but they just brought it in. And that's one thing that I like, is that a lot of South Park is so over the top. It's so over the top, and they just beat you over the head with their point. But for me, the really enjoyable part of it are the things that are kind of put in just on a lower level. They're put in a way that you don't, you're not being beat over the head with it. It's just being kind of eased. It's kind of being eased into the overall topic and the overall storyline. And that was one of the things I liked that they discussed that. I love the fact of how they had, you know, Mr. Garrison come back and after his stint as president and being really confused by anyone has an issue with him. But the best part of it, 100%, was the takedown of QAnon. And I'm sure, you know, if this gets wide enough publicity, I'll probably end up on some message board of Parler, or we know they're shut down, so I think, or Gab, being torn apart as some, you know, leftist snowflake who, you know, doesn't know the truth and whatever. Okay, whatever. That's fine. It's funny because people will assume political views of mine when they really don't know me, but whatever, it's cool. But the fact of how they just presented it in kind of the same way that they did with Scientology, with the Church of Mormon, where they just put it out there and just let it kind of chill. And went into specific details of so many things that you hear being broadcast and publicly stated by members of our government, mind you. That those things were just perfect. Like, they were so on, like, exactly with what the world is. You know, it was always a very sad episode because everything that was being shown in it really wasn't even being that overly, you know, dramatized. You know, the craziness going on, trying to get a damn vaccine appointment. I went through that for my mother personally because she isn't the best when it comes to doing stuff on a computer. So for day after day after day, I was sitting on the computer trying to find her a vaccine appointment. So when they went into that, I'm like, yeah, I get it, that part. And the level of, you know, once people were able to get the vaccine, how little they cared. You know, that was such a specific thing. But the teardown of QAnon was perfect. And the way that, you know, Garrison's character could say something directly to this QAnon supporter, who of course is named Mr. White, of course, but can say something literally telling him to blow shit out his dick hole. And then that would be turned and flipped into a coded message, was so perfectly on target with how much insanity goes on a daily basis within message boards. And it's funny because, like, I personally like some conspiracy theories. I personally believe in some conspiracy theories. But the way that everything is taken to such an extreme by QAnon, and then the narrative is wrapped around it. It's like, rather than taking facts and creating a narrative, it's like, we're going to take this right here, and then we're going to work whatever facts we need to get to that. And if there's actual truth in front of it, we're just going to ignore that. If there's something that actually, you know, is blatantly incorrect, we're just going to ignore that because it doesn't line up with the narrative. And so that, I thought, was so incredibly well done. I'm also, you know, to me, QAnon seems very much like me when I was super spun, just 57 tabs in 15 different browsers, open, learning this, click on this. Oh, but it's got to be this. If it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. It speaks so well to that meme of Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, looking all geeked out, pointing to a whiteboard and connecting everything. And that was absolutely hilarious. But then when they took it the next level and had that element of, you know, everything's being controlled by Hollywood elites, which then Matt and Trey, the creators of South Park, then broke the episode and went super meta and actually started controlling the episode. That was just absolutely perfect for me. But my favorite moment, and I didn't catch it until the second time, were the damn space lasers. They actually got space lasers. That shit was just, that was everything to me. So, you know, the biggest point that it ended with was the fact that at the end of the day, we don't really know if we can go back to how we were. We don't really know if it'll be possible to go back to what the world was post, you know, pandemic. I mean, will our broship survive? What's it going to be like going back out into humanity? What's it going to be like going into the world? And those are going to be interesting things that, you know, that as hopefully, you know, more vaccines keep going out and we're able to proceed, we're able to see a little bit more what that's going to look like. But it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to be dealing with this depressed state, to be dealing with this unknown for so long. I mean, we're over a year now. I just had my snap memory come up where a year ago there was no toilet paper on any shelf. So, hey, progress. We got toilet paper on the shelves just for today. But it's such an interesting thing. And looking at that, and then the fact that, you know, Mr. Garrison is doing everything he can to just be like, hey, just everybody forget about the last 4 years. Let's just move forward. I'm just a school teacher. That's it. That was so well done. So well done. And the ending of it with a party. A maskless party at a funeral. Talk about an essence of what America's been doing. The fact of, oh, somebody died. Whatever. I want a party. I don't even know what spring break looked like this week. I've been intentionally not trying to look at news media of Texas or of Florida because I want to have some humanity. I want to have some faith in humanity. I don't even want to see that and have it just torn apart. So, yeah, that was an amazing episode. If you don't like South Park, that's totally fine. You probably wouldn't like the episode. But if you appreciate South Park, you will probably really like the episode. It was very well done. And it's also interesting to see where it's going to go, you know, because they kind of, it kind of almost feels like they don't really know what the next step within the show is going to be. But I love they brought back so many characters. Like you had Al Gore in there with his full beard. You had Kanye looking for fish sticks. I mean, you there was so many elements. You had Death riding his little tricycle. It was very well done. But it also brings up an interesting concept, which is the fact that South Park and also Eminem really can't be canceled. And one of the things, you know, that's so hot button on the internet is cancel culture, cancel culture. Oh my God, they canceled Dr. Seuss. Let's take a second right now to clarify. Nobody canceled Dr. Seuss. Nobody did. The estate of Dr. Seuss went and stopped publishing 6 books because they personally deemed them to be not okay. They weren't canceled. There wasn't some, you know, super crazy Antifa mob running around canceling Dr. Seuss. That's not what happened. Even though that's what people are saying constantly on the internet, that's not what happened. At the end of the day, they felt that depictions in their stories were disrespectful. And that brings up an interesting thing within the concept of cancel culture, within the concept of, you know, of this isn't okay, so we have to change it. But isn't that what we want as humanity? It's not about, oh, well, you know, just stop being a pussy. Like if I had a dollar for every time somebody's told me that, because I point something out that, you know what, might be disrespectful to somebody. Not because I'm trying to be a social justice warrior, not because I'm on a high horse, not because I think my way is the right way and the only way, but because at the end of the day, if I can try to be more inclusive within my life, I feel like that is going to be bettering society. Even if I don't necessarily understand it, even if, you know, I don't agree with somebody's perspective, it's still, I still give them their ability to have that perspective. And that has especially been true, you know, recently within political stuff, because what somebody believes is what they believe. Even if I feel I'm right, that's their reality. But this cancel culture element in general is just, it's very unhealthy. And it's interesting to me because I always look at like at what level, you know, it's like seems like South Park is uncancelable. Eminem is uncancelable. Also because of, you know, different times when they started, maybe there's some built in ability to continue saying whatever the fuck you want because you've been doing it for 20 years. I don't know. But I think that there's just something about, you know, the whole idea that is just, it's so over the top. Like I get it. If somebody says something that they should not say, I understand having a reaction, having a visceral reaction to it. But simply canceling somebody doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. In a lot of ways, it actually makes it worse. If somebody comes out and says something incredibly racist and then is shut down and canceled completely and not explained or have a discussion regarding why it's racist, why are they going to change? If anything, their feelings now have negative reinforcement to them. Like, wow, I said this, I've got this horrible reaction to it. Now I'm going to go find other people who say this and, you know, we're just going to grow from there. And that's where things within racism or sexism build so much. Because that's not a healthy way to do it. The healthy way to do it is to have that dialogue, to explain why something is offensive, even if you don't believe it is. Personally, like if you say something and you don't believe it's offensive, but being open to having that dialogue might help open your mind or my mind or whoever's mind as to why something's offensive. Because ignorance of something can still be offensive to somebody, can still hurt somebody. And if I can do something in my life to maybe not hurt somebody, why wouldn't I do that? So this whole element of like standing behind things that are antiquated and are disrespectful and are not in line with current society doesn't make much sense to me. I really don't get the reasoning behind it. It speaks to a very close-minded, unwilling perspective, which for me personally, I don't want. I want to grow. I want to try to be open-minded and willing to grow and learn and understand something that maybe I don't understand. But I think so much people don't understand things, and the first reaction is fear, is push it back, is, you know, no. But we don't have to live that way. You know, and having platforms like TV, like music, you know, that can bring up conversations and have conversations to where maybe somebody will question a thought process. That's a beautiful thing to me. So if you didn't check out the episode, I suggest check it out. It was a great episode, in my opinion. And that was my favorite moment of the week. And we'll be back next week with more favorite moments. So it is time for our next segment.
It's time to Ask an Addict with your host, Matthew M.
All right. That's right. We are in our next segment, our Ask an Addict segment. This is a part of the show where this addict answers questions submitted by our viewers and our listeners. So if you are interested in having a question possibly read on air, please send it over to me. You can either use the email of Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com, or you can send it to any social media. As I said, all of the social media information is listed on the website, www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. All along the top, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're probably going to be putting together a Discord at some point because I love Discord and it's awesome. So we'll probably add that to the list at some point. But if you have any questions that you would like to have answered on air, please send them. They do not have to be recovery related. A lot of them are. But again, it can be whatever. I like answering questions. So please send me questions. Definitely, if they, you know, if you want it to be anonymous, just go ahead and send it to me personally. If you want it, you don't care if it's anonymous or not, just go ahead and leave it on the page, and we will add it to the list. So please send over your questions. So first question I got is, when should you get a sponsor? And then followed up by, when can you start sponsoring? So for anybody who doesn't know, what is a sponsor? A sponsor is a person within recovery who has a working knowledge of recovery. You know, it the ideal thing is to have a sponsor who has experience, strength, and hope, and has a level of understanding of the steps, of the traditions, of the concepts, of every element within, you know, or at least a lot of the elements within recovery. You know, I recommend get a sponsor ASAP. When I got my first sponsor, I was told find a sponsor, and they told me find a sponsor that has something that you vibe with, that has some common interest, that has something you want. That's what's often said. They have something you want. So my, I think, second meeting out of treatment, we went to a campfire meeting, and there was a dude who was spraying lighter fluid on the fire, and I like fire. So I said, hey, will you be my sponsor? And he was. He was my sponsor for a little while. Because in that moment, that's what I needed. You know, a sponsor is the type of person who will be there to help. Now, let me get this clear. A sponsor is not a therapist. Your sponsor is not a judge, legal guardian, therapist. A lot of times your sponsor isn't even your friend. But a sponsor's purpose is to help take you through the steps, to help, you know, get you acclimated with recovery. And some that is very different. There are some sponsors who are strictly step sponsors that are like, do not call me if it's not about step work. There are some that are super day to day that are like, I want you to call me every single day. I personally try to be a little bit of both. You know, I'm all about doing step work, but I also understand, especially because I have sponsored a lot of guys, you know, that are in treatment or fresh out of treatment or have never been in recovery before. It's a scary process. It's a scary process when a feeling comes up and we don't know what to do with it. Call your sponsor. So I recommend get a sponsor ASAP, like Ferg and Rocky. Get a sponsor. Find somebody that has something that works with you or for you, and work with them. just because you get a sponsor doesn't mean they're always going to be your sponsor. Doesn't mean that they won't always be your sponsor. But the best thing I recommend is get one as soon as possible. Which then leads into the next part of it, which is when can you start sponsoring? And now this is going to be an interesting thing that's also going to be contingent on where, you know, where you're located, how large the fellowship is there, also what your sponsor says. I will say, first thing, when will you start sponsoring is when your sponsor says you're ready to start sponsoring. A lot of, you know, a lot of the thought process is once you've finished all 12 of your steps. There's other thought process, kind of a more old school thought process, that you can start sponsoring as long as you're a step ahead of your sponsee. Personally, I like the thought process more of at least being done with step 6, possibly step 8, to really, you know, be able to have a good understanding. Because I'm sorry, but me, when I was just finished working, you know, my second step, or was just starting on my second step, was not ready to start taking somebody through their first step. Personally, that's just my story. But again, it depends on how many people are around. You might be from an area that has very few meetings and has very few members of you know, recovery, where somebody might need to be able to help somebody sooner. But again, that will come down to what your sponsor says. And what works. Also, you know, even if you don't feel you're ready, if your sponsor tells you you're ready, you're probably ready to do it. Sponsorship is one of the greatest gifts that I've experienced. You know, being able to help other men work through the steps and the traditions and get a footing in, you know, recovery. It's also one of the most painful things to get, you know, this level of care and investment, and then, you know, when they decide they don't want to be in recovery anymore, or like with that, they pass away on the side of a curb, it hurts, you know, it really hurts. But it's still, even with all that pain, the feeling of joy of being able to give something back is completely worth it. So, you know, I would say definitely speak to your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. And then speak to your sponsor after you've done some work with them about when they feel that you're ready to sponsor. Because it really is one of the greatest gifts, you know, that I've ever personally experienced within recovery, personally. So next question is, what is one thing that you would tell yourself in addiction? So like, what is one thing that me now with, you know, 3 years and a month, would I tell myself in active addiction? And that's an interesting thing because, like, you know, it's a difficult one for me because part of it is like, I believe that everything that has happened up to this point all led to me being able to sit here right now. But then I also question the fact of like, would I have been able to be sitting here right now a lot sooner if I would have come into the fellowship a lot sooner? But the biggest thing I would have told myself back then is that quitting is not losing. You know, surrendering is not losing. Stopping using is not saying, you know, oh, well, rehab's for quitters. That's such a untrue way of thinking for me personally. You know, when I look at how much I've won in life, in internal stuff over the last 3 years and a month, was all because of quitting, was all because of surrendering, being able to help people, being able to carry a message that has saved my life and has saved countless other people's lives. That is worth so much more. And that only occurred because surrender happened. So I would probably say, you know, guess what? Life can be even better, you dumb drug-addled-pated motherfucker. Because that's where I was. I believed that was as good as life could be. And obviously then when things got really bad, I, you know, still didn't think that life without drugs could even be better than that level of depravity that I was living on a daily basis. That's where my brain was. That's where the denial was. You know, drugs were such a part of my core, of who I am or who I was at that point, that the thinking about not using felt worse than the life I was living, being dope sick every single day, committing crimes just to get one more every single day. And that speaks to how warped my thought process truly was. So that would probably be the one thing that I would definitely tell myself, you know, at this, if I could go back and have that conversation. Because, you know, when I look at how beautiful my life has become in a little over three years, I really wonder where my life could have been if I would have gotten clean 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But I also have to believe that everything, you know, that happened was for a reason. And maybe that's what I needed. Maybe I needed it to get to that level, you know, to where I don't have relapse part of my story just for today. Maybe I needed to get that level of pain to really want to grow and change as a human being. I don't know. I mean, I have to believe that at times, because I'm the type of person who will look back on the past and rationalize and justify and be like, oh God, you know, if this would have happened, this, I don't need to do that. I need to just believe that I'm where I'm supposed to be, that I'm getting what I'm supposed to be getting in the time that I'm supposed to be getting it. And if I believe that, then I don't have regrets. I don't have that feeling of needing to change something, you know, but I know for a fact that if I would have had the concept of surrender in my mind years ago, it would have made life easier. Period. That's what I'll leave it with that. And we've got a couple more questions. We're going to get to those next week, because we're already at, you know, 6:15 here. But before we close up, we got to do them clean time shout outs. So this is the time during the show where we celebrate people who have collected various clean time milestones within recovery. So we recognize all of the universally recognized ones, which is for newcomers, which means anybody from 0 to 29 days, for people that have 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months, or multiple years of recovery. We also like to give other shout outs. So this is for people who, you know, we like to do some big round numbers. So 100 days, 250 days, 500 days, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 days. Because honestly, especially once you get above a year, you stop having those opportunities to be celebrated for your clean time. So we want to do that right here. So if you have a clean time milestone coming up, again, any of the universally recognized ones, or just, you know, one of those other big numbers, please let us know. We do this from week to week. So, you know, if tomorrow you celebrate, send it over to me and we will get announcement on air for you. Again, you can send all of that information over to Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com, or just hit me up on any social media. Just let me know your name and how much time you're celebrating so we can get an announcement for you here. So first up, we got a full list today. We've got a newcomer. We've got Chantel with a newcomer. So that means she has 29 days or less. And then we also have David as a newcomer. Welcome. Stick around. Don't keep coming back. Just stick around. Then we got my boy Todd, my sponsee brother, with 60 days. Well done, brother. And then we've got Rogine with 90 days clean. Hell yeah. Then we got Chris with 6 months clean. You get a half of a boop. And then we've got Christy Ann with 3 years clean. Boop, boop, boop. We've got Emily with 4 years clean. Boop, 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 boop. And then we've got Brittany with 5 years clean. Boop, 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 boop. So if anybody doesn't get it by now, years, you get a boop. That's what we do here. We like to keep that excitement to everybody picking up clean time. So congratulations, anybody who celebrated in the last week. If you didn't celebrate in the last week, don't use keep coming back. Actually, just stay. Fuck keep coming back. Don't use just stay, and you will. That's literally how it works. And like I said, if you want to get a clean time shout out, make sure to send it over to me, and I would love to be able to announce it on air. So shout out to everybody and congratulations. And guess what? We all have today. So definitely congratulations to all of us. Well, it is about that time. We're getting close to the end. Before we close up, I just want to again say thank you to everybody for being here, for everybody who, you know, came through watching live on YouTube, anybody who's downloading this. Please, if you can, you know, if you heard something you like, share this podcast with somebody. Just try to get us out there. We really, really appreciate it. It helps us grow, helps our numbers get up, and it really allows us to give the best possible product to everybody. Even if you didn't hear something, you know, even if you heard something you didn't like, still share it. Even if you want to share and be like, yeah, this guy's trash, whatever, you're still getting the views up. Anything for the views. But honestly, I always love hearing feedback from everybody. So if you heard something that you really identified with, hit me up about it. If you heard something that you totally didn't understand or didn't identify with or didn't like, hit me up about it. You know, I always wanted to hear other people's perspectives on things. I always want to be able to be, you know, able to understand more, to be able to carry as good a message as possible and help as many people as we can. So it's about that time, y'all. Thank you so much for being here. I love each and every one of you. You know, and if nobody told you that today, I love you. Huge shout out again to our episode sponsors, Etc. by Emily and Metaphysical Minds. All their information down below in the description. Again, massive shout out to Alice in Wonderland, Valentino Khan, and Mad Decent Records for allowing us to use anything. Download info below. And I will see everybody next week. Hope everybody has a blessed day. And remember, what I can't do alone, we can do together. I'm sorry.